any visitor who needs to borrow a Bible, raise your hand. Especially an adult. Nobody? Okay. Matthew chapter 11. You fellas got Bibles down here? No Bibles? Woman, no Bible? You guys got any Bibles down there? These guys need a Bible. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Start in verse 20. Give you a moment to find that. I'll be preaching a missions type sermon tonight in our service, but not this morning. I'm going to preach on something a little different. Something that's a question often asked. I do not like talking about politics and so forth, so I very seldom do. My personal belief is politics are very corrupt. Most every politician is very corrupt, I believe. And so I don't like to talk about it much, but I'm going to talk to you this morning about who should I vote for. Who should I vote for? And don't get too excited. I won't probably name any names. But I will tell you who to vote for. From the Bible can tell us who to vote for in elections. And anyway, if you have Matthew chapter 11, let's stand and stretch for a moment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Through 24. The Bible says this, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask you, Lord, that you'd bless this sermon this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd do a great work now for the next 20-25 minutes through this, and speak to our hearts, Lord, about a truth of our day that we need to get a grasp on, Father, as everybody in this room does, even if they're not a voter this morning, Father. It's something to take to heart and think about. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. It seems that every election cycle, what happens is the statement's always made, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And it is true, because every election is the most important election of our lifetime in many ways, because every election will affect the future generations, either for good or bad, one way or the other. And so whom you vote for will affect that direction that our nation will take, and it could affect the freedom maybe of the gospel being spread throughout our country and of course throughout the world even. And that's why every Christian, I believe, should vote. And so it's not that I'm not for voting. When I said earlier I'm not a big fan of politics, I'm not at all, but I'll always vote. I never miss a voting time, and I always vote, and I believe every Christian should vote. I believe everybody who has the right to vote in our country should vote. But every Christian should vote, and I just think it's important. Elections have rewritten history in many times, rewritten history. You may not think that one vote's important, but your one vote could possibly swing an entire election. You never know. It could swing it one direction or the other. And so there's been 12 presidential elections, I believe, that have been decided by like 1% margin or less. So that means if 1% of the voters in a certain state or states may have changed their mind and voted for the other candidate, the entire election may have come out completely different. So your vote does count if you're a voter. It does mean something to go out and vote. And so it could go one way or the other. Imagine if 1% of those who didn't vote would have voted. Could have turned the entire thing around. Knowing who to vote for, though, I think is imperative when you go to vote. And I think God lays a heavy responsibility upon having this privilege. We often hear that to whom much is given, much is required. And our verses that we read confirm that when they said, of course, we read them just a moment ago, but it said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And then he says toward the end there in verse 24 that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for these. God held these people responsible because of they had the privilege of hearing the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had that privilege of seeing some of the works that he did and so forth, and they were more accountable than some of the other places, because some of those other places didn't have that opportunity. They didn't get to see the great works of Jesus and hear the great teachings of Jesus in person like some others did. So he was telling them, hey, you've got a responsibility here. That's very important to remember. God held them more responsible. I think God is going to hold America more responsible for things in the world because it's got the complete Word of God. And other nations like America that have the complete Word of God, and there's other places in this world where they don't even have the complete Word of God to this very day as we speak. And God's going to hold, I think, the nations that have the complete Word of God more responsible than those that did not have the complete Word of God. So I believe that God will hold America more accountable. He's given us more freedoms than many other places in the world have. I believe he'll hold the country of America accountable. Many countries do not have the privilege of even voting like they do in America. Americans have that privilege. There are some countries where people are threatened if they vote for the wrong person. Some countries are ran by dictators. No elections are even held. Then there is America, where we have been blessed for over 200 years to vote for the man whom they want to lead us in our different offices, the person. So we've had that privilege. The importance of every election can be seen, I think, throughout history. One election has changed the course of a nation time and time again. Time and time again. I think our first election, when George Washington was elected president, I think America was a very fragile country. Very much so. He had, of course, the American Revolution had been won, but there were still a lot of people who were loyal to the King of England. If George Washington was not the president, America may have given up freedoms that we have today. In fact, some people wanted George Washington to become a king. That's what they wanted, but George Washington was humble enough to realize that they didn't need a king. They'd already been over on the other side of the world where they had kings. They needed a president, not a king. Kings stay forever. Presidents come and go. Amen. And that's what he realized. The history of America was forever affected by the election of George Washington, I believe. I think on a world scale, I think Adolf Hitler rose to power by, guess what, free election. By free election, he came to power. During the post-World War I era, his political party was developed. Hitler's great ability was definitely as a public speaker. It was at least aided by the fact he was a good public speaker. People listened to him, and he was very convincing by what he said. And so as a public speaker, he rose in his political party. Germany was recovering from World War I, and their economy was, guess what, terrible. Hitler promised the German people that if he was elected, he would change their economy completely around. Sadly, though, most German people did not research the true things that Adolf Hitler believed. Because if they would have, they would have realized much about Adolf Hitler. That he was against the Jews, he was against democracy, and he was for a dictatorship all the way. He was elected into power, and the rest is in the sad history of the history books that we have today. And some of you were old enough to even live through those days and remember them in your lifetime. If people would have done their homework, maybe they would have never elected this evil man to power at that time. Ronald Reagan was a man who changed history for good, I believe. He had a belief in free enterprise, low taxes, hated communism. Amen, hated communism. That's a good requirement for a president, to hate communism and socialism. He changed America, and he helped change world history in some ways. Foreign policies helped crush the power of the Soviet Union, helped to bring down the Berlin Wall. America's economy took off because of his financial policies of the trickle-down economics, which work, aided America in having the capability to stand against the USSR. These are several elections that affected the world one way or another. Quite a bit so. We don't know what the future is going to come through these elections coming up. But if the wrong man's elected, it could affect America badly, could affect the world badly. Could have a negative effect. And I'm not just talking about the current financial crisis. But I'm talking about even religious freedoms could be affected greatly. Greatly so. With advertising running through the internet and across TV screens, it can be difficult sometimes to decide who to vote for. So, well, preacher, who should we vote for? And I often tell people, many of you even, don't vote Republican, don't vote Democratic, vote Christian. Amen. If you vote Christian, you vote for the right person. Vote Christian. So how do you vote Christian? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. If you're saved, you're responsible to vote for the candidate who lines up closest to the things of the Word of God. I'm telling you, that's the truth. That's the truth. There will never be anyone who completely lines up with the Word of God, probably as a political candidate, anymore. That's just the truth. But you can still let the Word of God help you decide who to vote for in elections that we have, whether it's in our state, whether it's in our country, you can still use the Word of God. Let me give you some things that you should look for to help you determine. Number one this morning. Number one, where do they stand on abortion? Where do they stand on abortion? Amen. There are three things for which God will destroy a nation, and one of those is the shedding of innocent blood, the Bible says. Ezekiel 36:18 says this, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherein they had polluted it. Abortion's murder. It's murder. Amen. America has murdered millions of innocent babies throughout the years since 1973. Murdered a lot of them. A lot of them. Where a candidate stands on this issue is very important as to whether God can bless a nation or whether God's going to have to curse a nation, without a doubt. Watch out for the candidate who changes their stance on abortion just to please the crowd. Men can certainly grow in this area, but you look at recent votes where they've stood most recently, and that'll tell you a lot about them. In this election, it's very clear that there's a difference on where our presidential candidates stand on abortion. Very clear. Very clear. Let me also make it clear that abortion has nothing to do with a woman's choice. Has nothing to do with this. The biggest lie ever told has nothing to do with a woman's choice. It has to do with what's right and what's wrong. What's right and what's wrong. The woman made a choice when she became intimate with a man. Therefore, she already exercised her rights. I said, what about the one that was raped? That's less than 1%. Of all abortions, less than 1% of all abortions. The unborn baby should be protected. And you should not vote for someone who believes a woman has a right to murder a baby. Amen, preacher! It's true! Shouldn't vote for somebody who thinks it's all right to murder a baby. Number two. This is going to be a long sermon. That one didn't go over so big. Number two. Where do they stand on Jesus Christ? That's what you got to ask yourself, amen. Where do they stand on Jesus Christ? I point you to Ezekiel 36:18 again. In fact, let's look at it. Look at it. Look at it with me. Go to Ezekiel 36:18. Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. Yeah, I wasn't going to have you look up any of these verses, but let's look this one up. Ezekiel 36:18. I quoted it to you a minute ago, but let's look at it. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. So God was pouring his fury upon Israel because they had polluted, not only because of the innocent blood, but because they had polluted their land with what? Idols. With idols. Amen. What a candidate believes about Jesus Christ is important as to how they're going to rule a nation. Amen. I mean, America was founded upon Judeo-Christian beliefs. If a candidate does not hold these beliefs, you can be assured that they will hold to beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God. If they think Buddha's all right, that's not good. That's polluting our land with idols. That's not good. So, it's harmless. Those are nice people that believe that way. No, those are foolish people that are going to die and go to hell if they don't come to Christ. Amen. It's idol worship. Just a modern day form of it. So they got contrary to the Word of God then. Furthermore, their view of Jesus Christ will determine how they will deal with Muslim countries, by the way. America has no real business dealing with countries that are Muslim. So why is that, preacher? Because the overall concept of the country is that their net desire is to kill Christians. It's true. It's true. They believe you either convert or the infidels have to be killed. Now, there's a lot of nice people that are Muslims who don't hold to those things, but the hardcore people, which are the people running these countries, believe that. If you don't think so, just watch the news. See what goes on over there. See, go say, well, preacher, I don't think that's true. Okay? Then watch somebody who's a missionary go to a Muslim country and try to start a church. There is no freedom there for that. Why not? Because the overall concept of those running the country will not allow it. They will put a pistol to your head and they will blow your brains out if you try to do that. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Is not allowed. And I remember Dr. Tutton, a college president at Texas Baptist College, when I went there, telling us in a class a story of when he went and visited Egypt and how there was a bunch of children there that were asking for dollar, and because they were Americans. And so he got down and started trying to talk to them and tried to give them the gospel, got his New Testament out of his pocket. And he said all of a sudden he heard the cocking of a machine gun. And he said he looked up and there was two military men, Egyptian policemen there, military policemen, holding guns on them, and told them no. It's not allowed. There is no freedoms there. It's a free country here, folks. It ain't free over there. There is no freedom. Your freedom is silenced because it's all given. We had a man here who was from Iran, got saved. Amen. Brother Yeager led him to Christ. Got baptized at our church. And he sat down and told me one night when we had one of our fellowship dinners, we sat and talked about Iran and the situation over there. And he said, you know, most of the people there, he said, they don't want to be Muslim. He said, they don't have any choice. He said, if you don't act like you're a Muslim and in agreement with Muslim, because I talked to him about, you know, how'd you get saved so easily? I said, if you were a Muslim, he said, I really wasn't. He said, my family says they're Muslim and I, but he says, I really never held to those Muslim beliefs. He said, but over there, he said, they'll kill you if you act like you don't want to be a part of being a Muslim. So if your family's a Muslim, you just have to be a Muslim because there is no freedom over there to change or opt out to something else. You're a dead man. And we went and put I always had that blog and put a picture of him and I on there. And he saw that on there. He got nervous. And we had to take it off right away and remove any connections to it because he said, they'll kill my family. He said, in Iran, they will kill my family because they saw that I got saved on there, if somebody was to see that on the internet. And so we removed all of that from there. But that's freedom for you. Yeah. There is no freedom. That's not freedom. And America doesn't have any business doing dealings with people that believe like that whatsoever. And typically in our history, we have not, by the way, had dealings with most of those, especially countries like Iran. Better not change that stance. Number three, where do they stand on sodomy? The third thing that God destroys a nation for is the sin of sodomy. The sin of sodomy, amen. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wicked sodomite practices. For you kids who don't know what that means, homosexuals. Homosexuals. When I was a kid, we called them queers and fags. But homosexuals. Yeah, that's not a word I choose to use. Sodomites is a more biblical word. But sodomites. It's sodomite lifestyle should not be acceptable. It's an abomination against God. Leviticus 18:22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is abomination. If a candidate believes that sodomites are okay and sodomites getting married is okay, that is not somebody that any born-again, blood-bought Christian has any business voting for. Amen. There's a choice right there. That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? Yeah. If they think it's all right, then that goes against that book right there. Because God is clearly against it. God is clearly against it. And so the candidate that believes sodomites can be married, that's not one you should be voting for, Christian. Don't close a blind eye to this area. It's important for the sake of the home, the purity, amen, that we have. In our leadership is to stand against sodomy. Number four, do they support Israel? Do they support Israel? I've said for a long time from this pulpit, for many, many years, that one of the reasons why God has withheld his judgment against America is because we have continued to be friends of Israel and we have continued to stand for Israel. That's a big part of it. That and our missions that still go out of our country. We still give more missions to missions than any other country on the face of the earth. But the friendship of Israel has been one reason. Genesis 12:3 says this, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That's what it says. "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." A candidate's stance on Israel, amen, concerning Israel, could be one of the most important areas at which we look. If they were unfriendly towards Israel, they should not vote for him. Find out if they believe Israel has the right to defend herself. I do. Amen. Find out if they believe that. Find out if they believe Israel needs to be giving up their land to Hezbollah. Find that out. That'll tell you a lot right there. Amen. That'll tell you a lot right there. God promised Israel that land. America should stand behind her when she is attacked from enemies who surround her. If America turns its back on Israel, you can be assured that God will turn his back on America. I promise you. A candidate must have a strong stance for Israel. That's their land. There's no need for no peace agreement. What Israel needs to do is stand up for herself and push all them stinking people out of there that don't belong. Sit there and have our American presidents go for this nonsense treaties and whatnot. Bless God, follow the book. You follow the book, it'll tell you whose land it is. Get the rest of them out of there. Seal your borders up and secure them. You give an inch of land to those people that, you know what their beliefs and their stand is, that they want to push Israel off in the Mediterranean Sea, all Jews and Israelites. Do you not realize throughout history, who has continually been persecuted and attacked? Jews. Because God made a stance that was his chosen people, his chosen nation. And the devil hates God and wants to hurt God. So guess what? Time and time again. You go all the way back to the book of Esther, amen. What Haman wanted to do? He wanted to kill all the Jews, didn't he? What Hitler wanted to do? He wanted to kill all the Jews. What happens in our modern day movement today with most of those Arab nations? They want to kill who? All the Jews. They want to kill all the Jews. Even the friendliest ones that are friendliest to America, like Saudi Arabia, their prince will come out and make some statement like, "Well, we agree with everything but their stance on Israel." Because they don't like Jews either. That's just where they stand. America better be a friend to Israel. It has been throughout its history, and God has blessed America and made it one of the greatest nations ever to be on the face of the earth. Number five this morning. See, this shouldn't be a tough sermon, but I can tell what the problem is. You've all been influenced by the media. You've been influenced by your school system. You've been influenced because everything I'm saying, you've been taught just the opposite of by some stinking secularist somewhere, bless God. And I'm telling you from the Word of God where God stands, amen. If you're a born-again Christian and you act like one, you'll know where to stand. Number five, what are their values? America was founded, once again, I said, on a Judeo-Christian values. These values are that all men were created equal. Amen? It's true. It's true. That means nobody should be granted any special rights of any kind. All men are created equal. If a candidate believes that certain groups should be having special rights and more entitlements than someone else, then that makes them a socialist, and that's not somebody you should be voting for. Amen. They have socialist tendencies. Socialism is against the Word of God. A candidate's values are important. Are they strong believers in the family? If they're for gay marriage, no, they're not. Do they believe a family consists of a man and a woman? Amen. These values should be very clear and should not be ones that are considered to be politically correct. A candidate's values will dictate their policies. Therefore, you need to be sure that their values line up as close to the Word of God as possible. It's very important. Number six. What is their stand on religious rights? What is their stand on religious rights? Be sure the candidate you vote for believes that Christianity should be in the public arena, because it should be. They should believe that prayer should be in the public square. They should believe that Christianity belongs in our public schools and in our government system. They should believe that the church has the right to be involved in government, but the government has no right to dictate to the church. Amen. It's true. They should believe that separation of church and state does not mean that government has the right to dictate what preachers can preach from the pulpit. Just because a candidate does not practice the same religion as you do does not mean that you should not vote for them either. Let me illustrate. In a perfect world, it would be great to have a doctor that believes and goes to the same church that you do. That would be great. However, if you had a heart problem, I don't think that it would be wise for you to go to a foot specialist who's an independent Baptist instead of a cardiologist who is a Catholic or a Mormon or something like that. I believe it would be probably wiser for you to go to the cardiologist even though they don't believe just like you do. Probably be wiser. So likewise, in a perfect world, we can vote for a person who attends an independent Baptist church. However, you probably won't find that candidate very easily, if at all. Therefore, vote for the candidate who believes that the government should never dictate to the church what they can and cannot do. Amen. The spreading of the gospel can be hampered greatly if a person who doesn't believe in religious rights is voted in as president. Separation of church and state is the most misused, misunderstood part that part of our Constitution by so many people, politicians and likewise. Number seven, what is their view of history? What is their view of history? A man's view on history is as important of an indication as to where he will stand and where he's going to take this nation. A man who has a negative view of American history or changes American history to appease political correctness is a man who will lead America away from biblical principles. Definitely. Amen. Definitely. Definitely. A man who loathes our American history will have no problem trying to change the way America is because of his foreign views. America's history is one that is blessed. God is throughout our history, and a man who embraces our history is a man who will continue to carry on the foundational principles on which America was founded. Be sure you vote for somebody who has the right view of history. Somebody who doesn't will believe our Constitution needs to be changed. And by the way, there are those who do believe our Constitution needs to be changed. There's boatloads of them like that. They think it's an outdated document. I do not believe it is. I believe it holds just as true today as it ever did. I believe it's just as adequate for our country as it ever was. Those who were putting together the founding of it, for the most part, were those who were believers, many of them born-again believers, at least as a whole, the majority of them had a belief in God, and a strong belief in God, and had a strong belief in family values, and had a strong belief in Christian beliefs. Anytime you have somebody who's going to get up as a candidate and say that America is not a Christian nation, but it's a nation of peoples and beliefs and ideas, that's not a good candidate. Hey, man! That's not a good candidate at all. Right. We've got some like that. Last time I checked, this was a Christian nation that was founded on Christian principles. And that's why God's blessed it so much. And if you don't believe the book, then I guess you may not believe that. But if you're a believer in the book and you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you got to stick with the book. These seven areas can be applied to any level of a candidate. Always remember that local politics will eventually affect national politics. As a Christian, you need to be sure that you vote as a Christian and not as a Republican and not as a Democrat. Don't be guilty of not voting, for the lack of your vote may put the wrong person into office, but be sure that you ask God to help you vote for the right person when you vote. Ask God to help you find the truth into what the candidates actually believe, and once you have the facts about each candidate, then be sure that their beliefs line up with these seven important areas I talked to you about today. That's important. You should vote if you're somebody here who has the right to vote. And you should vote by the wisdom that God gives, and not by what they're telling you on the television to vote for, or not by what you think is something that you will gain, maybe financially or some junk like that out of it. You should be voting like a Christian should vote. That's how you should vote. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. May I ask you this?